A deal has been struck to extend the nation's debt ceiling into December after Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's threatened standoff. Michael Laughlin, Professor Emeritus at Salisbury University, looks at its significance.
What do we make of the present debate taking place between the Congress and the President over the debt ceiling and the President's budget proposal? To fund current government services and programs, the Treasury Department needs borrowing authority, which is limited by law by the debt ceiling. Presently, the Treasury Department is fast running out of cash under that authority and needs additional authority to keep the government open. This means that the Congress must act to raise the ceiling to accommodate new borrowing to fund commitments made by previous Congresses and presidents. The Democrats are in favor of raising the ceiling, but the Republicans are refusing, and given the razor-thin Democratic majority in the Senate, the Republican filibuster could halt a vote, cause a government shutdown. Similarly, President Biden and a majority in the House have proposed a $3.5 trillion spending plan extended over 10 years, which would finance new and continuing programs to address climate change, expanded health care coverage, tax benefits to alleviate child poverty, a national paid leave program, and more. Republicans oppose this far-reaching policy agenda outright. As well, two Democrats in the Senate, Senator Joe Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema, are holdouts for a more spare spending plan. We should recognize that these debates, debt ceiling and budget proposals, reflect two ideological differences presently distinct in our major political parties. Reflecting a stronger progressive wing, the Democrats represent the modern liberal activist vision of the use of government, of the federal government, to solve long-festering national and international problems. To do so, big budgets are necessary, and they must be funded. Both tax increases, particularly on the wealthy, and raising the debt ceiling are necessary to advance this agenda. In contrast, the Republican Party of Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump reflect a conservative outlook aimed at diminishing and minimizing the role of the federal government in addressing public problems. Instead, their default position is that the problems will be addressed by the marketplace, the corporate arena, aided perhaps by state governments, if at all. Mitch McConnell's response to an Obama-Biden proposal may best represent the attitude today of many Republicans when he said, "You must be under the mistaken impression that I care." The problem is the market fails to solve the chronic social ills with any real equality, and state governments lack the resources. If the problems are to be addressed, only the federal government can gather the resources necessary to address climate change or child care on a national level. Time and time again, this has been the case over the course of the 20th and now the early part of the 21st century. Think of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. In all these cases, it has been the Democratic Party advancing the social welfare agenda using federal public policy to address income and health care insecurity for seniors, the disabled, and low income, followed by Obamacare's expansion of health care insurance to many others. Think also of the failed effort by the Republican Party when they were in the majority to repeal and replace the ACA. Part of the reason they failed was that they had no alternative for replacement. They had no plan, except you are on your own in the marketplace, which meant no health care insurance and no health care for millions unable to afford it. We should keep this policy history in mind as we weigh in on today's struggle over debt and budget proposals. These are not new. They are the old struggles renewed. This is Mike O'Loughlin.